Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to just read verse 6. Paul says, God also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So our subject is the letter and the Spirit. Now Paul is beginning here to contrast the old covenant of works with the new covenant of grace. He's contrasting the letter, the law of Moses, with the Spirit, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The letter is the law of Moses. The gospel, the Spirit, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, by doing this, this shows us, I pointed this out Thursday night, I'll say it again, this shows us that Paul's chief opponents at Corinth were the Judaizers. Now, this was the case everywhere he went. Judaizers claim to believe salvation to be by grace through faith in Christ. That's what they profess to believe. But they added and insisted that the believer also must keep the law of Moses, or he could not be saved. They professed to believe salvation by grace through faith, but they added that except a man keep the law, the Ten Commandments, he could not be saved. In addition to Christ. Now that is mixing law and gospel. That's mixing law and gospel. That's the chief sin that Paul speaks about in all his epistles when he talks about the believer no longer serving sin, but walking in newness of spirit, not oldness of the letter. That's the chief sin he's dealing with. That's the chief sin we face in our day. Now, here's what I want you to get, and we'll see this throughout the message. God's true preachers preach the gospel of Christ, not the law. We preach the gospel of Christ, not the works of men. Now, first of all, I want you to focus on this phrase. He says, we preach not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. What is it to preach of the letter? Preaching of the letter is preaching that says you must keep the law in order to be saved. Now, they might not say to you, you must keep the law in order to be saved. They may just say, it's needful. But when you mix law with grace, it ceases to be grace. It ceases to be the gospel. Usually, they also turn some part of grace into a work. Like faith or repentance or good works, they make that to be a work of the sinner by which he's saved. Turn over to Acts 15. I'll show you this. Acts 15. And look in verse 1. Acts 15, 1. It says, certain men which came down from Judea, you see they came from Jerusalem, that's where these men brought their letters of recommendation. They did bring them from the true church, but they brought letters to recommend them. They came down from Judea and they taught the brethren. They began to teach in the true church. And they said, here's their doctrine. Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Look down at verse 5. There rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed. You get that? They believed. They came preaching of the letter claiming to believe salvation is not by works, but by the grace of God through faith in Christ. That's what Judaizers taught. They said salvation is by the grace of God through faith in Christ and not of your works. And yet they added this, verse 5, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now hold your place right here. Usually, Judaizers in our day say that it's needful for believers to keep the law for sanctification. They say it's needful for believers to keep the law for holiness. It's needful. They may not use language such as that's as strong as they used here, where they said, or you can't be saved. But that's what they mean. Take away those works from them and see if that's not what they mean. Let them hear the gospel I'm preaching to you now and see if that's not what they believe. They'll reject this gospel just like they rejected Paul, just like they rejected Christ. When a believer then doesn't measure up to what they consider to be their measure of holiness, then, as they said here, they think it's needful also to command them to keep the law of Moses. They bring you under law. Preaching of the letter says that preaching the law will make sinners obedient. It'll make a believer obedient. And if you don't preach the law, he'll just live like he wants to. That's what they teach. I read one man said, true holiness is living like God says to live, not like you want to live. That's not holiness. God makes us willing. God's people live like we want to live. We love holiness. We want to serve Christ. We're not living like we don't want to live. We're living like we want to live. By God's grace. But you see, it's not the letter of the law, preaching the law, that constrains a believer. That's not what melts your heart and makes you obedient. It's the constraint of Christ's love that does that. And the constraint of Christ's love is only heard through the preaching of the Spirit, through the preaching of the gospel of Christ. That's where you hear of Christ and His great love for His people, by which we're constrained to obedience and to walk honorably before Him. Listen, go with me. Well, let me just read this to you. If you want to go there, Galatians 3, verse 2. I'm showing you here in this passage. Don't lose Acts 15. We're coming back there. But in this passage, Paul is saying it's not the preaching of the law that's going to make you obedient. Listen to this. Verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Now see, you could read Galatians. The whole book of Galatians is Paul dealing with men who were saying that in addition to Christ, you had to add the keeping of the Ten Commandments. These men weren't talking about adding ceremonial law. They were talking about adding the Ten Commandments. The law is one law, and Christ is the fulfillment of that one law. But listen to what Paul says here. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You could have just as well put there what our text says, by the hearing of the Spirit. By the hearing of the gospel, by the hearing of the faithfulness of Christ, about what Christ did. Are you so foolish then? If that's how you received it, through the hearing of faith, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Look, have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be so, yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, that's Christ's preacher. Paul said we're ministering the Spirit. We're preaching the Spirit. And that's Christ who makes it effectual, who ministers the Spirit to His people. He says, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, that preached the gospel of Christ to you and worked miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The law was not even given in Abraham's day. Abraham didn't hear the preaching of the law. That's not how the Spirit of God was given to him. That's not how he was brought to the obedience of faith. It was through the preaching of Christ. That's how. It was not by the preaching of the law. It was by the preaching of Christ. That's how. And that's how we're going to continue to be made obedient and be constrained. By the preaching of Christ in His works for His people. Now, go back with me to Acts 15. I want you to see the rest of this. So the Apostle Peter preached the Spirit. He preached the gospel. When these men came preaching the letter, he answered them by preaching the Spirit, preaching the gospel of Christ. And he declared that God sent him to Gentiles. Now, I love his answer here. It's so good. God, he says, God sent me to Gentiles, and they knew what he meant. These were men who never had the law of God and were never under the law of God. They were never under that law of Moses at all. And they never had it. And Peter says, God sent me to them, and I preached of the Spirit. I preached the gospel of Christ. And as I did, he said, God did this. Verse 9. God put no difference between us Jews and those Gentiles who don't have the law. He purified their hearts, not by the law, but by the hearing of faith. He purified their heart by the hearing of faith. Now therefore, listen to this, why tempt ye God to put a yoke of law upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? He said, we never once fulfilled the law. Why now are you going to put that yoke on these Gentiles who never were even under the law and who are trusting Christ? Why? Why? Look, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the new everlasting covenant of grace, through the gospel of Christ, we Jews shall be saved even as they. We're going to be saved like those Gentiles. That is, without the works of the law. Without the works of the law. Through the hearing of the gospel. You see, the preaching of the Spirit. The preaching of the Spirit is declaring the gospel of Christ. It's preaching Christ's works. That God in Christ fulfilled all the obligations of the new covenant of grace. The old covenant of works put obligations into the hands of the sinner that the sinner never could ever fulfill. The new covenant comes and says the work is entirely finished. Obligations have all been met by God. He's done it in the person of Christ. There's nothing for you to do to meet an obligation. And understand this, every sinner saved by God, even those back there that were under that old covenant, outwardly, physically, every sinner saved by God has been saved by the everlasting covenant of grace through the gospel of Christ. Through the gospel of Christ. They were required to keep the ceremonial law, but they didn't. Because that to them was their gospel. That was like you and I coming here and hearing the gospel preached. That's how they saw Christ in the high priest and the blood of the Lamb and the mercy seat and the holy place and all of those things. That was like them hearing the gospel for true believers. But they all were saved by the covenant of grace. David said, although it be not so with my house, God hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. That means God fulfilled every obligation. And David said, and this is all my salvation. He didn't say, I got to add something to it. He said, this is all my salvation. That's the preaching of the Spirit. Now, back in our text, it says to us secondly, here's why we do not preach the letter. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. Here's why we do not preach the letter. The letter killeth. The letter killeth. Now, go to Romans chapter 7, and I'll show you how the letter killeth. Romans chapter 7. And let's read verse 8 here. Now, what I'm going to show you here is, you listening to me? The law kills by sin, deceiving the sinner into thinking he can actually keep the law. The letter of the law kills by sin making the sinner think he can actually keep the letter of the law. Look here in Romans 7, verse 8. Paul says, sin, taking occasion by the commandment. Sin, using the commandment of God, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. You know what concupiscence means? Concupiscence is doing what is unlawful. That's what concupiscence is. Remember, Paul said, the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Well, Paul says here, sin caused me to use the law unlawfully. Sin caused me to use the law unlawfully. How so? He used the law to measure himself, to measure his outward obedience. And he looked at himself and thought, I'm righteous. I have kept the law. I put away my sin. That's the unlawful use of the law, to measure your righteousness by the law. That's unlawful. That's not what the law is used for. That's that sin that Paul speaks all about in Romans 6, where he says, you were the servants of sin, but you're not anymore. And then he goes into Romans 7. I'll show you that in the second message. That's what we're not under anymore. Well, he's pulled us out from that sin, and now he's brought us to believe on Christ. Watch the before and after right here. Romans 7, verse 8. He says, for without the law, verse 8, for without the law, that means when I didn't hear the law, he says, sin was dead and I was alive. When I didn't hear the law and I didn't understand the law, he said, sin was dead and I was alive. But when the commandment came, when Christ made me hear the law, sin came alive and I died. You see the reversal there? That's the evil concupiscence that kills a sinner, is when he does not hear the law because of his sin, he thinks sin is dead. He thinks he has mortified sin in his bodily members and put sin down by his obedience to the law. He thinks he's made his sin dead, and he thinks he's alive. I've earned a righteousness so well, God is so pleased with me. That's the unlawful use of the law, my brethren. The unlawful use of the law. But Christ intervened with the gospel. He intervened. Now, Paul had been left in that state right there. That's what Paul's talking about when he says the letter killeth. If he'd have been left in that state, the letter of the law would have killed him and condemned him in the day of judgment. He would have entered into judgment saying, didn't I do many wonderful works and cast out devils? And he would have heard, depart from me. Everything you've ever done has been a work of iniquity. I never knew you. But Christ intervened by grace and taught him the Spirit, taught him the gospel of Christ, and brought him to believe on Christ. And he made him hear the law. And when he made him hear the law, that law keeping that he thought made his sin to be dead, that law keeping became his greatest sin, because he saw he really hadn't kept the law at all. When he was made to hear the law, he saw that law-keeping, it was my greatest sin. Because I thought I was keeping it, and I never was. I never was. And he died. He died. He saw he was a sinner, dead and condemned under the law. And look now, I want you to see this. I don't think I've ever seen this quite this clearly. Look down at verse 12. Because he was made to hear the law, and made to hear that law declare him guilty and shut his mouth, he says, verse 12, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. The reason that Paul, and every believer, delights in the law of God in the inward man is not because the law tells us we're holy and righteous and good. It's because the law told us we're not holy and righteous and good, and it shut us up to Christ. That's why we delight in the law. He says later, if I do that, I would not. I confess the law is good. If the law tells me that, it's good. It's good. That's what the proper use of the law is, to tell you you're a sinner. You're a sinner. You're condemned. You're dead. You need Christ. But the bad way the letter killeth is, he said in verse 11, sin taken occasion by the commandment deceived me and by it slew me. See, it wasn't the law's fault. He said sin did it. Sin deceived me into using the law unlawfully, and that slew me. That's what killed me. Now, go back with me to our text. And let me make this statement. And I pray you hear me. And anybody listening to this, I pray you will listen to me carefully now. If you imagine that you have to keep the letter of the law in addition to Christ, you cannot be saved because Christ profits you nothing. That's exactly what Paul said in Galatians 5:2. He said, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, that is, after you profess to be saved by Christ, if you insist that you must keep the Ten Commandments in order to be saved, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that's circumcised, he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are, justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. And if that's our case, Paul said, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Because it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And you and I can't do that. You can only fulfill the law in perfection. That's the only way God regards it as fulfilled, is in perfection. That's why He had to send Christ. That's why Christ had to go to the cross. God only regards the law fulfilled in perfection. And Paul says, no man's justified by the law in the sight of God. It's evident. Because the just shall live by faith. And the law's not of faith. That's what they say. We're living by the law. It's our rule of life. The law is not of faith. The just live by the rule of faith. And the law is not of faith. It's just not. But the law says the man that does the law shall live in the law. Somebody told me a sad story. That article that's in the bulletin today that I wrote about believers keep God's law in perfection. Apparently Rich Petrosky posted that online, and somebody, I was told this, somebody commented on that article, on the statement I made when I said the law is only kept in perfection. That's why believers can't keep it. And he wrote back, he wrote him and he said, that the Bible doesn't say that. Bible doesn't say that. That poor sinner is deceived by sin. Because I just read to you where the Bible says that. The Bible said, cursed is the man that does not continue in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. That means you have to do the whole law in perfection. Christ is the only one that did that. And that's our message. Now, this is the third thing. We preach the Spirit because the Spirit giveth life. The letter killeth, the Spirit giveth life. Verse 8, the Spirit's called the ministration of the Spirit. The gospel is the ministration of the Spirit. Verse 9, it's called the ministration of righteousness. Now, the Spirit giveth life. You notice there the word Spirit is a little S. It's a little S. That means he's not talking about God, the Holy Spirit. Now, don't misunderstand. We're going to see as we go through that chapter that God, the Holy Spirit, is the one by whom this Spirit, this little S Spirit, is ministered. No doubt about that. But what he's talking about here is the Word of Christ. That Christ speaks. that Christ speaks effectually in our hearts and quickens us to life. That's what the word Spirit means. John 6 and 63, Christ spoke exactly what Paul's saying here. Paul's quoting Christ in what Christ said. Christ said, it is the little s Spirit that quickeneth. It's the little s Spirit that quickeneth. It giveth life. That's what our text says. The Spirit quickeneth. It giveth life. What did he mean by that? The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are little s Spirit, and they are life. What's he saying there? Paul's saying that preachers are ministers of the Spirit. But Christ says here, he's the minister of the Spirit. He's the one that speaks the words in our hearts and quickens us to life by that word. So why did Paul call his preachers ministers of the Spirit? Go to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. Peter quotes Christ as well. And he says the same thing that Christ said. The words of Christ are the Spirit. And their life, when Christ speaks into our heart. Look here in 1 Peter 1. And look here at verse 22. Paul says, Peter says, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the God the Holy Spirit. You see, the gospel of Christ makes the heart holy and pure. The law doesn't do that. So the law is not for sanctification. The gospel makes the heart holy and pure. It purifies the heart. Verse 23. And here's how it's done. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. You see that incorruptible seed? What is that? That's what Christ was saying when he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are little s Spirit, and they are life. They're the incorruptible seed that Christ, our everlasting Father, births us, conceives His child with. You know, yet that's what the Spirit is. The Spirit's the incorruptible seed. The Spirit of our text is incorruptible seed. The Word of God that Christ speaks into the heart. Look, he says, it's the incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth, you see that, which is life and abides forever. Now listen to this. For all flesh is grass. And verse 25 says, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Christ said, the flesh profits nothing. The word I speak is Spirit and life. The incorruptible seed that I plant in you is Spirit and life. Your flesh profits nothing. The works of the law profit nothing. You going back to Moses accomplishes nothing. It's the gospel that I speak into your heart that's going to purify you and make you obedient. So why did Paul, if Christ does this, why did Paul call his preachers ministers of the Spirit? Look down at verse 25 at the end. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. That's why. Because Christ does this by sending forth his preacher to preach this gospel to you. That's why Paul said we preach of the Spirit, not of the letter. Because the Spirit gives life. The only thing that quickens and gives life. And you know, when you go through life and you're down and you're falling into sin or anything like that, you know what you need to hear? You need to hear the gospel again. You don't need to be whipped with the law. You need to hear the gospel again. Because that's how Christ comes again and quickens you back to life. So you can follow Him. And then He says here, it's the ministration of righteousness. What does that mean? When Christ speaks these words of life into our hearts, He teaches us. He writes His law on our heart. Christ does. He writes the law on that new heart He's given. That new life He's put in you. He writes the law on your heart so that you can walk in that law and keep that law. Why does He do that? He teaches you He's fulfilled it. And that you're going to keep it and establish it by believing on Him and walking by faith in Him. That's the new covenant of grace. That's what we preach. That's what He teaches you in the heart. That's how this is fulfilled. God said, this is the covenant that I'll make with you after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in your heart, and in your minds will I write them. What did our text say? What did we see Thursday night? Paul said, you are manifestly the epistle of Christ. Christ ministered this by us, written, written with the Spirit of the living God. In fleshly tables of the heart. He wrote what? He wrote the Spirit. He wrote the covenant of grace, the new everlasting covenant of grace. He didn't write the old letter of Moses' law on your heart. You had that. You knew that it was wrong to steal a chicken. Read Romans 2. Paul says the Gentiles know that. We already knew that. He writes the gospel on our heart. He writes the law of faith and the law of love and the law of righteousness and the law of sin and the law of Christ and the law of liberty. He writes the gospel on the heart so that you can bow and walk by faith in Christ. That's how we keep God's judgments and His precepts and do them. And it's how all the Old Testament saints were quickened and how they kept the law too. Listen to Psalm 119. I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. That's how all God's saints would say, this is my comfort in my affliction. Thy word hath quickened me. I'll never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Teaching me Christ is my righteousness. The entrance of thy words giveth life. It giveth understanding to the simple. This is how all God's people were saved. Always. God makes Christ unto us everything we need to be accepted of God. He said in 1 Corinthians 1:30, God, of God is Christ made unto you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's when God's made this everlasting covenant of grace on your heart. That's when Christ has made you His epistle and written in that fleshly heart that He's given, that new heart He's given, that new spirit He's spoken into you. That's when He writes on it telling you He is all your righteousness and you're complete in Him. And when you bow down and believe on Him, He ministers to you His righteousness. And that's how you're made to follow Christ and walk after Him and obedient to God. The obedience of faith. That's how it happens. But listen now, understand this. Christ does not speak the words of life nor minister His righteousness through the preaching of the letter. He does not. Because that turns sinners from Christ back to Moses and back to themselves. And that's dishonoring to Christ. He does not minister life or righteousness through that word. No, sir. The letter killeth. But the Spirit, the gospel of Christ, is the message through which He gives life for obedience to the faith. That's why we preach Christ. Amen. Let's stand together, brethren. Thank you, Lord, that you have taught us this difference between the law and the gospel. Thank you, Lord, you've given us the light in our hearts for the law, because by it you have declared us guilty and shut our mouths so that we could not do anything else but trust Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you did it by preaching the Spirit to us, by Christ giving us life and making the commandment come and making us hear your law and hear your gospel. And Lord, thank you that you, just like you constrained us in that first hour to believe on you, by this word of the gospel, you keep doing it, making us follow only you and look only to you and honor you in our daily life. By this word, thank you, Father. There's multitudes you passed by that you hadn't shown this to. And we're so thankful. We are so thankful for the gospel. Forgive us, Lord, for looking back to the letter, for looking back to our flesh, for entertaining thoughts of self-righteousness. Kill that old man and keep us looking to Christ. We thank you, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.